Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
A peculiar people, as the Old Testament puts it, a special people unto the Lord, a set apart people unto God. Amen. How many has ever felt the pull of this world in some form or another? You felt the pull. I don't mean you long for all the things of the world necessarily, but there's just all kinds of value issues that you're going to be pushed toward by the media and by all the things that confront us, in particular in a culture so saturated with media as our culture. I want to read from two different portions of Scripture, Old and New Testament. I want to talk to you about living the new life, putting off the old and putting on the new. You'd think if you've been a Christian for any length of time, this wouldn't be a real issue with you. But I find that putting off the old and putting on the new is not just a one-time thing. Amen. Paul talked about that process, and then he talked about how he applied it in his personal life. And if I read the Bible correctly, he said, I sanctify myself daily. Amen. That not only did he make the one-time commitment, and he resolved, amen, to live in the newness of life, but he set him apart for that purpose on a daily basis. He also talked about the battle that he fought. Amen. He said, we don't fight as one who beats the air. Amen. In other words, we're not shadow boxing. We know the real target for all of our energies in our warfare to overcome and to live effectively for Jesus. And he said that in the next verse, he targets the area that the greatest battle is going to take place in. And amazingly, it isn't in the heavenlies. It isn't with demonic forces in the heavenlies. Let me tell you about man and temptation and these demonic forces in the heavenlies before we read. Amen. The Bible said in the book of James that every man is tempted when he's... Well, first it said God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. How many know it doesn't matter what Satan's got in his arsenal in the heavenlies? Amen. If our flesh is under subjection and Jesus is Lord, he will never be able to control and influence us. Can you say amen? So the real battlefield, Paul isn't taking it to the devil in the heavenlies. He's taking it to himself. He said, we don't fight as one that beateth the air. He said, but I buffet my body. Did anyone see the news this week? There's a holy time in a certain sect in our Iraq and Iran and you see these young men whipping themselves with chains. Did you see that? And you know you got about 1,000 young men out there and they got actual chains and they're wrapped up and they're bruising their own backs and this is a way of submitting themselves to Allah and they're whipping themselves. There's something called penance in Catholicism that you had to do things that were so self-sacrificing that somehow you were making up for something, and you had to kind of reduce that, some of the extremes of penance to saying, you know, several Hail Marys and repetitive things over and over to try to make up for something. Amen. So here we are, Paul saying, I buffet my body. He's not talking about physically taking something and hurting yourself. There are actually people down in the Philippines that allow themselves to be crucified for a little while. They hang, impaled, actually. I've seen the actual footage of that, thinking somehow they're going to make up to God for the sins that they've committed by suffering similarly like Jesus did. Jesus didn't suffer so you could literally, physically be put on a cross. It's a fleshly crucifixion that he died so that you could experience. Amen? Listen, everybody in this room, you know, it doesn't matter how much words you get inside of you, how much biblical knowledge you get. If you don't surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and find the peace of that and the power of that in your life, amen, you can't enjoy this separated life. You can't live it. Listen, the separated life is not just particular sins of the world or values of the culture. Amen. It's getting involved in the confusion of it, the anxiety of it. Amen. I found out that I've got to deal with anxiety like I would any other sin and worry like I would some other sins. See, the church has kind of taken all of that in and say that just goes with having a family. That goes with living in the 21st century. That goes in living in the end times. Let me tell you something. Either Christ can keep his word or he can't. And he said in this world you're going to have tribulation. But don't let that throw you. Be of good cheer. Everybody say cheer up. Look at somebody next to you and say, he meant it. Amen. This is a message we need to hear in the end times. The message of cheer up. Can you say amen? Why? Because he knew that this time that we're living in would have a connotation, and the Greek actually connotates the reducing of the strength. In the last days, perilous times will come. The literal word is outrageous times. If any man wants to be a good preacher today, all he needs to do is open his Bible and open the newspaper or turn on CNN. And you can see exactly, amen, how there's a correlation between everything the Scripture said about the end times and what's happening in our times. Amen. And the Scripture said there would be perilous times that would come. One translator of that seen it as the wearing away or the wearing down of the Christian and of the faith. And that's a dangerous thing when Christians become so caught up in the mood and the atmosphere and the influence of the world that we're experiencing. The same anxiety, the same fear, the same worry, the same self-image problems. Amen. We see this person that that looks like they're on cocaine and calling it healthy. I mean, this, you know, what's the fashion model of today look like, you know? What is the new look for the you can't be too, what Hollywood says, you can't be too rich nor too skinny. Amen. And I'm not talking about you. You look nice. You got a glow about you. Let's gang up on the skinny people. Can you say amen? It's time they got their just desserts, literally. Go out and eat some cheesecake and lighten up. Amen. But it's Nehemiah, you know, after preaching, said, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet. That's what, you know, isn't that great? I like the sign above the right beside a health food store is the barbecue, you know, says, it says, and the health food store said, eat here and live healthy. And the other says, eat here and die happy. At least they were honest. Can you say amen? You know, amazing thing when God's people went down into Babylon. And we think that here they are, but listen, God was with them and God was going to redeem them and God had a plan to bring them back out. And he said, by the way, while you're in Babylon, I still don't want you to become of Babylon. I want you to build houses. And he said, I even want you to prosper. Amen. Because there's a, yeah, let that bear witness. Let it sink in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want everyone to stand one more time. We're going to pray. Listen, folks, there is a message out there that's nothing but materialism. And it is wrong. And it is coming from the, in my opinion, from the devil himself. And I'm not the only one that shares that opinion. But let me tell you something. We're in a world where the devil wants to suppress you to where you think living in this world means I have to be filled with anxiety and anxiousness and oppressed and depressed most of the time. You got that very wrong. Jesus said in this world, you're going to have a lot of pressure. It's just like the being in Babylon without being carried off captive. Babylon's grew up around you. Sodom has grew up around you in your Christian culture. Not because you walked down into it, but it just grew up around you. You're in this world, but you're not of it. Can you say amen? But God said to those that were led captive into Babylon, he said, I want you to build houses and I want you to prosper. I want you to be in that city, but I don't want you to be of that city. I don't want you to bow to their gods or buy into their values, but I want to bless you in spite of the fact that you're captives in Babylon. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So God wants to bless his people. I want people to see the blessing of separateness. I want them to see the positive result of saying no to the world and yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want them to get over this struggle between Sundays, where Sunday God calls us and 6 days the world has at us, and then we feel so depleted when we get back to Sunday we're barely hanging on by a thread. I watch too many people go out of here happy and come back sad. God wants to change that. He wants to change you in your world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray together. I want to pray for this. Oh, God in heaven. Heavenly Father, we're praying again. We're praying again because there's people here caught in the midst of this struggle that you want to set free. We've somehow got the idea that we can't be healthy and happy because of the end times and the world conditions. Lord, we are so wrong. We've got it so wrong. Hallelujah. It's the covenant blessings of God that's going to mark us as a separate people in the midst of this world. Father, help us today to get a hold of this message. Though we are believers in Babylon, in a very real sense, Father, We are believers, and you are still God, and we belong to you, and we bow to no other. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen and amen. I better get to the scripture. We will never get there. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, real quickly. No service tonight because the fair traffic is building, and so we've called off two, and Sean sent an email because he can't be here this morning, and he said, I'll be glad when we're back to normal. So I'll be glad, too, when we're back to normal. The fair will be over, and the only thing I'll have to fight is Strawberry Festival traffic to get out of Plant City. It won't be getting into Tampa. It'll be getting out of Plant City, but I know some ways to get around that. Praise God. Hallelujah. They didn't hurt me too bad today out here, but it is building. Not near as bad as last Sunday. Amen. Putting off the old and putting on the new, living the new life. Paul talked about walking. The scripture talked about walking in the newness of life. Amen. How many's ever heard this scripture about 150 times? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Remember when it was new? You remember when it was new? Amen. We used to sing the old gospel song, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Can you say, remember the newness? Hallelujah. That new life in Jesus that you could wake up in the morning and know, you know, that you're God's. You woke up and you said, my sins are forgiven. I belong to God. I can pray to God. I can talk to God. I can walk with God today. If I'm in need, God is going to come through. Amen. And that's before the real struggle with the culture and the flesh begin to really accelerate in your life. And then you found out that you, even though you were God's child, you were still in this world and you were still having to contend with this flesh. Amen. Paul said, I find a law in my members that there's still battles going on. The battle wasn't ended when I received Christ. It really cranked up then. Can you say amen? I'm regenerated in my spirit. I'm reborn on the inside, but I've still got an outer man. Amen. The outer man is perishing. It's decaying and decadent. The inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. The outer man doesn't care about the Word of God. The outer man doesn't see the value of worship or prayer. Amen. The outer man sees only the things of the flesh, but the inward man thrives on these things. Amen. Forsaking not the assembling yourself together is not just so we can get a head count or get money in the church treasury. It's so you can be enriched with the Word of God. And not only enriched in the Word of God, so you can be renewed. Your mind can be renewed. I mean, it's like, you know, you can't live in this world without getting some garbage inadvertently in your mind. You can't live in it. You can't look at the advertisements. You can't look at billboards. You can't listen to the music. You just absolutely can't live in a vacuum. But one thing that happens here, amen, through the Word of God under the anointing is, amen, the potential is here for you to be renewed, constantly, continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when you are, you can walk with God in a close relationship. You can see the value of the kingdom. You can get new value systems. But the mind is the pivotal thing in all of this. Amen. Putting off the new and putting off the old and putting on the new. Amen. Means turning your back on the old way of life and embracing constantly the new. Involves something that it all hinges on. It involves the renewing of the mind. Can you say amen? Without the renewing of the mind, there's not going to be any transforming of the life. Everything that's going to be done in your spirit to save you has been done. Amen. You're complete in Christ. Amen. But in your mind, that's a whole different work area for God to work on. Amen. Mind is a terrible thing to waste, one commercial said. One man forgot the rest of it and said, the mind is a terrible thing. Amen. It can be a terrible thing. It's the seat of all kinds of imaginations. I've had imaginations come to my mind that I did not invite. The mind evidently is a battlefield. It's a place where Satan can actually impose thoughts and can somehow impose influences. And we have to be guarded in our mind. Ever look at somebody, I've said this 100 times, but do it again this morning. Look at somebody and say, your mind matters. Amen. It matters. It's not just a matter of your spiritual man. You have you can't disconnect your mind from your spirit, from your body. It's all interconnected. It would be great if we could disconnect, compartmentalize, but it's all interconnected. Amen. So God says you've been regenerated in your spirit. His seed remains in you where he put it in your spirit. Amen. His very nature. You know, the great promises of God is not all the house on the hill and the Mercedes Benz and the diamond rings. It's not even the healing. Amen. It's being able to partake of God's own nature. I mean, when I hear exceeding great promises, some Christians go ka-ting, ka-ting, ka-ting. You can almost hear the cash register turning over. They see SUVs and they see Trump Towers. And by the way, Trump Towers is filled up. I told my wife, I'm sorry. Man, it's full. 700,000 for the little one. Over 2 million for the big one. What is it, 90 units or something? They're all sold out already. So any of you that were getting ready to move into Trump Towers, I'm very, very, very sorry. You can't move there. So you might as well just give that money and help us build a church. Do something for the kingdom that you won't have to move out of if a hurricane comes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, we see those kind of things. Listen to this. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, there are promises all throughout the Scripture. Someone said there's over 6,000 personal promises throughout all the Bible to the believer and the covenant people. I've never stopped to count them, but everywhere you turn, there's great promises to God's people. Can you say amen? And don't belittle that. Thank God for the promises of God. They're yea and amen to them that believe them. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, in all those works and blessings of faith and manifestations of faith in hearts and how it blesses people and blesses God, it said that through faith they obtained promises. Can you say amen? Through faith they did what? Obtained promises. Thank God you can obtain promises by faith. But there are promises that are better than just all the other promises. They're called exceeding great and precious promises. And they're particular promises, peculiar promises, peculiar to us in a powerful way, life-changing way, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of a place in Trump Towers and a summer home in the mountains and a winter home in the islands. No, that you might be partakers of the heavenly nature. Can you say amen? Having escaped because of partaking of that holy nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You win the war with the culture and the war over the lust of the flesh by partaking of His holy nature. He promised, you can come into my holy presence. We prayed a prayer last week and someone touched on that. In the experience of the holiness of God and the power of God. We need a lofty view of God. We need to come into a presence of God, amen, that has a cleansing effect. Hallelujah. Something that says this is too holy to drag in the mud and drag in the streets of the world. This is precious and this is powerful and this is life-changing. This is separating and this is segregating. Hallelujah. Amen. Coming into the presence of a holy God is an awesome thing. The God who dwells, as the New Testament puts it, sounds like an Old Testament verse, but it's a New Testament verse that is telling us that even though we have access through Christ to the very presence of a holy God, He still dwells in the same kind of holy, reverential conditions. He hasn't become casual, and we must not. He's a God, the New Testament says, that dwells in unapproachable light. And yet this God who dwells in unapproachable light bids us come and have fellowship with Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a powerful thing it is to come into a presence. Don't just go to church. Learn how to enter into the presence of this holy God and bow before Him. You'll find yourself many times on your face saying, woe is me, for I'm undone. But you'll always finding Him responding with whatever is necessary to bring sanctification. If you have a heart to be a separate people, holy unto God, God has a help for you. Can you say amen? You got to have the heart to get the help. He's not asking you to do it on your own. Amen? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord how high and lifted up. That's the only way we need to see Him. We need to never see him any other way. Can you say amen? And his glory, his train filled the temple. And I saw the seraphim, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. And they had three sets of wings. And with twain they did cover their head. And with twain they did cover their feet. And with twain they did move about. And I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Amen. And immediately God says, who shall go for us and who shall I send? And he said, here am I. Send me. Amen. And immediately an angel took a coal from the altar of the presence of a holy God and touched the lips of a mortal man and says, now you can speak my words because you have been set apart for this holy purpose. Can you say amen? How many know everyone in this room has been set apart? You know what the Bible calls you? The Bible calls every one of you, from the greatest of you spiritually to the least of you spiritually, no matter where you are in your spiritual development, amen, the Bible calls you saints. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible? There's St. Pamela, St. George. Hallelujah. Yeah, even you. Glory be to God. I do have dinner to pick on. I'm sorry, I was going to pick on her. Yeah, even you. Hallelujah. Wow. St. William. Willie short for William? Just Willie. It's just no William, just Willie. St. Willie. I never heard of a St. Willie. We got one right in our own church. Can you say amen? St. Andrew, St. Jude, and St. Willie. Amen. Got a little statue of him on my dash, and I could drive U.S. 19 with no fear. I don't think so. Can you say amen? It's Jesus. Not on my dash, but in my heart. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But every one of us, we're making a big deal about canonizing people and appointing them saints. Amen. The New Testament said when you come to Christ, you get sainted. You have sainthood. Can you say amen? You have been set apart unto God in such a holy condition that God calls every one of his children saints. Isn't that incredible? I like the story of the little boy that was taken to a great cathedral with stained glass windows. And I used to think of it every time the sun would come through the Holy Church of God, not just through the stained glass, but the holes in it till we got it fixed. Can you say amen? And they threw rocks through our windows. Part of our persecution wasn't too bad. God was gracious and God moved on people. They gave offerings and they fixed those windows so beautiful before we sold that church. But you remember Sunday mornings when the light was coming through? Some churches had saints, on the windows and the little boy would look and he said, Daddy, who are those people in those stained glass windows? And he said, oh, son, those are the saints. There's Saint so-and-so and Saint so-and-so and Saint so-and-so. And the little boy just took it all in. And then one day in his Sunday school class, he was asked, what is a saint after teaching on the sainthood of the believer? And he said, somebody that the light shines through. Can you say amen? I like that definition. Amen. Saints of God are people that his light of his gospel and his goodness just shines through. Hallelujah. But God even talked about the saints in Caesar's house. See, I want to get back to this coexisting with a culture that is in such conflict with us, but celebrating the conflict, celebrating our differences, celebrating the fact that we are a different people, that we do belong to God, that we have put off the old, and what's happening right now, what's happening to you right now, amen, is a renewing of your mind. Amen. What happened in your spirit can't be added to. Amen. It's a done deal. It's a done work. His seed remaineth. Come on, it remaineth. That what? That you sin not. There's a new bent in you. That's why you can go out with other sinners, but you can't be as happy as them if you've ever known Christ. I guarantee you, when the party's over and you have to live with yourself, something inside saying you're going against the nature, the new nature. Amen. You're not living out this sainthood. You're not living it out. You're not fleshing it out in your life. And you'll never be happy. No sin will make you happy. Oh, I have it on good authority. No sin will make you happy. No compromise will make you happy. Happiness is reserved for those whose God is the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the wicked and the loudness of their laughter. It's masking the emptiness of their souls. The wicked, the Isaiah said, are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked, but unto God's children. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Amen. And my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And that's reserved for saints. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. We're warming up to the subject now. Some people have gotten saved. They're Gentile believers. The church at Ephesus. Paul wants them to know, now that you've been saved, you've been changed on the inside. God wants to begin to change you on the outside. It's to change your values, change your outlook on life, change everything. But you've got to recognize that you've got to turn your back on the old. And you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's yet to be done. Because you can't live in this constant conflict between the two cultures. You've got to begin to make a decision. Amen. God will always challenge. This is a church that always challenges. Some people won't come because they know they're going to be challenged. Anyone afraid of challenge has a real serious spiritual issues. Can you say amen? Amen. Because if we want to hold on to some sin so bad, we don't want it uncovered. We don't want to be challenged to give it up. That we don't listen. Last thing I want is people to be in here with sin in their life and be comfortable with that. God don't want you comfortable with something that's going to hurt you. Can you say amen? If there was a copperhead or a cotton mouth that come up out of this water area, which it wasn't, there was one living under the air conditioner. I see no one's going back there today, amen. But there used to be one, a big cotton mouth moccasin living under the air conditioner back here, amen. And carried, got down with a flashlight, just like Crocodile Hunter or whoever, and looked for it, amen. And God bless Terry. Hallelujah. We'd get a video camera and send it into somebody. It ought to be worth something if the snake came out. Can you say amen? Only if the snake came out. America's Funniest Home Videos. Watch Terry run. See Terry run. Can you say amen? If there was a water moccasin under your chair, amen, I don't want you to be comfortable with it. I want you to move. I want you to get away from it. Can you say amen? Why? Because I don't want you bit. I don't want you hurt. God is not calling to separation because he wants to take away your fun, take away your fellowship, put you in isolation, let you live a lonely, unfulfilled life. God has something waiting for you. The exceeding great promise that delivers you from the world and its lust is that you can partake of the divine nature. Can you say amen? That you can actually begin to enter in to that's already entered in you. That you can come into that holy presence and be changed by the exposure to his holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. These promises deliver you from the world and the lust of the world. Why? Because it tastes so good in his presence. The things of God are so much more satisfying, so much more lasting than the things of the world. Man at work, personal friend of mine, He's been saved. He was really into some bad stuff, and he loves Jesus. And he's 40-something years old, and his first marriage had failed, and the sin was tearing everything apart, his life apart, his family apart. And he found him a lady, and a marriage date is set, and they've been through the counseling procedure, and now they're ready to tie the knot. And he's excited. And I sat down with a guy last night, and he said, well, I hear you're going to tie the knot. And he said, yes, God has sent me a woman into my life after 10 years. After 10 years. And he said, and it is so wonderful. But he said, you know, through those 10 years, he said, seven of them. And he's talking about from his salvation point of view. He said, seven of them, I was celibate. The guy said, I didn't need all that information. And listen, with all the trash talk that goes on, it wasn't that we're talking about some sexual issue and celibacy. It was the fact that now we're going to start talking about a faith. Because he said, it was so easy because Jesus satisfied my soul. He said, no one. And now you can tell he's getting fired up. And God just asked, you know, I heard you're going to tithe and all. He said, nobody can satisfy your soul like Jesus. The world don't believe that. The world don't believe that. They don't believe it. They look at you like you're a square. I'm hoping on my job they're finding out Rev is not a square. Can you say, man? But I have a hold of something tangible, something real. You can't see this kingdom, amen, in its essence because it's a spiritual kingdom. But you can see the result when this kingdom comes in a heart and in a life. Can you say, man? You can see the fruit of it or the product of it. I look at some Christians and it looked like they've been, I don't know, you know, just, dear Lord in heaven. They had fun when they were sinners and they became Christians. And all the fun stopped. The most stoic, long faith. Can't even get them to worship with any joy. Jesus said, listen, amen. Be of good what? Yeah. Be of good what? Yeah. You're in the world, but you're not of it. So cheer up. Be of good cheer. I've spoken you these things in John 15, that my joy might be in you so that your joy might be full. God wants you to be separate, but he wants you to celebrate your separateness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And this guy couldn't take it no more and he left. Because now we're talking about what Jesus can do in your heart, what Jesus can do in your life. Amen. And the thought of not going out and carousing and not going out and being sexually active is just, it's so foreign to a world that's so promiscuous that anyone could actually pull it off. Can you say, amen, it's more information than some people want to know. But it thrilled my soul to know that someone had that kind of relationship with God. That church wasn't just a place you go that has no relevance once you walk out the doors in the culture and the society. And once you walk out into Babylon, Babylon wins. Can you say amen? And that's what God wants to change. He's changed us on the inside. Amen. Remember the song we used to sing? Ben taught us to sing. Amen. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Can you say amen? The New Testament puts it this way. It's God that worketh in you. Hallelujah. If you had to pull this off yourself, it'd be too much for you. But it's not up to you. You surrender. You want it. And you believe God for it. And God goes to work from the inside out. Everybody say from the inside out. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's God that worketh in you, Paul said, both to will. Amen. And to do of his good pleasure. And he that has begun a good work, where? On that inward man, seeding it into you, shall perform it until the very day of Jesus. That means no one in this room has arrived. Everyone is still under construction. But thank God, the great master craftsman is still at work. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what kills a church and a Christian life when it dies? Is when that ongoing work ceases. Because you don't stay the same. You either go onward or you go backward. Backsliding is not a conscious decision to turn around and go back. It's simply not pressing on toward the mark. If you're going against the grain, you're going against the tide, you're going against the wind, you don't have to go back. Just quit pushing forward and it'll take you back. Can you say, how many know the world will take you back? You don't have to make a conscious decision, but you find yourself back and you go back and say, when did I decide to go back? Honey, it didn't just happen most of the time with one decision. It happened as a series of events and you just went with it. Amen. You didn't fight against it. Paul said, with all that I've got, the credentials I have and experiences I have, I press toward the mark. Everybody say, strain forward. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark. If you're in a battle, thank God for the battle. If you feel the heat of conflict, thank God for the conflict. How it marks you as one who is pressing. If you're comfortable where you are going back. Amen. You might as well say you're backslidden. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. This is not a day to be comfortable. This is a day to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Hallelujah. Conformable. Listen to what Paul said. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, Now, this is everybody that we think is so great or that pulls us away or that has influence over us to take us away from God. This is where they really are, and this is where God brought you from. They walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, that's not what Jesus teaches. Can you say, man? There are even churches that won't deal with these issues, but you get around Jesus and he'll teach you different. Can you say, man? If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You know, anybody that's really got close to Christ won't buy into the gospel that says you can sin and it won't matter. Why? Because they've heard him and they've been taught by him. It's not just my doctrine. It's not just a particular denomination's little slant on things. If you ever get close to Jesus, amen, you cannot buy into the fact that you can live like the devil and have all the blessings of the kingdom. Amen, because Jesus will tell you something different. Jesus does tell you something different. Jesus was the plainest, most forthright speaker I've ever heard in my life. Amen. He said every tree is known by the fruit it bears. Amen. He said a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree can't bring forth good fruit. So either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make it evil and the fruit evil. For a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? He said, I don't care what church you're affiliated with. I'm talking about what's coming forth in your life. Your life. Amen. No, you're not saved by works, but when you get saved, there better be some works. When the heart is changed, amen, the abundance, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. The forces of life. People want to claim a changed heart without a changed life. That's a contradiction. You can't have a change on the inside without it wanting to push its way to the outside. Bible said, work out your own salvation. Years ago, people got that in error and thought you had to do certain things other than what Christ has done to get to heaven. It's talking about what's on the inside coming and beginning to be expressed on the outside. And Paul's telling these new Gentile believers, says, this is what you once were. This was your mindset. This is the battlefield. This is where it pivots. Can you say amen? You got to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. God has saved you. Now he wants you to think differently and focus differently and have different values. That you put off, verse 22, the former conversation or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can you say amen? We used to sing the old gospel song of days gone by. I've been changed. I've been newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay. Praise the Lord. I've been changed. Can you say amen? If any man be in Christ, he's what? Old things are what? All things are become new. Now, how do we walk in that newness? How do we embrace that newness? The Bible said you've got to put off the old man. You've got to make a decision that I can't walk like that anymore. I'm a Christian now. I'm a saint. I'm set apart. I'm a holy one. I'm a royal priesthood, a holy generation. Can you say, man, a chosen person? God wants to walk with me through my life. God is a holy God. Amen. I can't think like the world. I can't stay under its influences. I need to be in God's house. I need to be in Bible study. I need to listen to good Christian music. I need things that will feed my mind. You can't feed it on blockbuster stuff all week and nothing else and expect to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. Hello? We also used to sing, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world since Jesus set me free. He gave me light for past so dim. Oh, how I've changed since I met him. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Remember the old-time religion song? We have a hard part with one verse demonstrating change. Makes me love everybody. We sung it with such gusto. You know, makes me love everybody. except Sister Hoopendicker, everybody, a little clause put in there, you know? Everybody. Yeah, it was good for Paul and Silas. It'll do when I am dying. Makes me love everybody. Honey, that's going to take change from the inside out. That's not normal. That don't just happen because you hook up with a church. Can you say, man, you got to start following Christ. Hallelujah. I love to follow Jesus. I get in trouble when I don't follow Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't just promise you heaven when you die. It promises you a changed life here in the midst of a pagan and fallen world. Can you say, man? I said a changed life. I said a change. If you walk away from that changed life, thank God you can come back to it. His seed remains in you that you sin not. Hallelujah. You'll never find peace or happiness until you go with the new flow. There is a flow you can go with. Hallelujah. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Go with the flow of His seed within you. The great promise is that you, hallelujah, can partake with all of your weaknesses and hang-ups and sinful tendencies. You can partake of the divine nature. That means you and I, amen, worms that we are, wretches that we are, can come into that holy presence and experience that sanctifying power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we can live godly in an ungodly world and not be pious and self-righteous. Just be different, hallelujah. Be different. Hear the words of a young mother who, though through her husband, became hooked on heroin while living in Los Angeles, California. This is what she writes. One day God in His mercy allowed me to find a card that had the address and phone of the Los Angeles Teen Challenge Center. On one side, the card said, "Society says, once an addict, always an addict. But Jesus says, I am the way and the truth, and the truth will set you free." Curious to know what that meant, I went to the Teen Challenge Center. I was a bitter woman, mentally, spiritually, and physically sick. There was no purpose in my life. But as I listened to the gospel of Christ, a glimmer of hope was beamed to my heart. Perhaps there was hope for me after all. At last, I decided to commit my wasted life to Christ. I asked Him into my heart, and He made a new creation in Christ, made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away just like He said, and all things became new. Isn't that good? I mean, if you've ever experienced that, you may not think it's such a big deal, but to this woman, amen, she knew, I can't change myself. There's no way out of this prison. But here's a little message here that says Jesus can still set people free. The truth about Jesus can still set people free. Amen. Jesus, listen, the gospel's about a changed life. If it's about anything, it's about a changed life. Not just a changed destiny after this life, but a changed life here and now. Hallelujah. The marvelous thing about the Christian faith is that while it emphasizes on the one hand the absolute utter futility of life without God, on the other hand, it promises a new life because it provides for a new you inside and then outside. Everybody say a new me. Hallelujah. You know, you're not even going to keep your name when you get to heaven. You are so brand new. Amen. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out that the moment that newness arrived in your life, amen, God gave you a new identity. Something that disassociated you even in name. Amen. Your name that you were named until you were born again, that name is associated with this world somehow. Amen. But the Bible said one of the things that Christ is going to do in the book of Revelation, He said there is a new name written that no man knows but my Father only, and that name is what you're going to be called by in heaven. Isn't that incredible? Does that blow you away or anything? Why did He give you a new name? Because you now have a new identity. And He doesn't want anything that associates you with the old man. Everything in your life now associates you with the new man in Jesus Christ. So it's nothing. It shouldn't take you back that you're going to get a new name. Ruth is not going to be Ruth in heaven. She's going to be Hortense. No, I'm just kidding, Ruth. I'm just kidding. I just tried to make Ruth smile this morning. That's an old name. It's a wonderful old name. Just don't hear it anymore, and I wouldn't name my children that. Anyway, moving right along. Amen? You got a new name. Why? Because right now, God has given you a new identity. Woo! Yes, God has given you a brand new identity. Woman at the well has a new name. Praise God, that Syrophoenician woman will never be called what she was called on earth. And I don't care if her name meant the swell of sweet roses. It's identified with the old person, and that old person became a new person in Christ. And if you're a new person in Christ, that newness follows you all throughout eternity, and it's going to be marked by a brand new name. Woo! We used to also sing that in song, didn't we, Sister Venable? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Oh, and then we'd really get into it. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Look at somebody and say, it's mine. Yeah, you're not going to be called by what you were called before you were born again. God is going to give you a new name because He's already given you a new identity. And you're not identified with the world, you're identified with Christ and His kingdom. Can you say amen? You're in it, but you're not of it. You know what He wants to do this morning? He wants to get your mind renewed to the fact of not what you can be, but who you are. Army wants you to go over there and put yourself in harm's way so it tells you to be all that you can be. Hello? All that you can be in Jesus is something else again. God wants you to begin to think differently. Amen? Look at John 15. We should live different because Paul declares converted Gentiles. I've got to hurry and close. Must not live as unconverted Gentiles. Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense at all that that's a fundamental of the new birth, that you live differently? Your values change, your life changes. When you first got saved, did anything change? Amen? Amen? Did anything change? If it didn't, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to challenge you on your new birth. I didn't say there wasn't conflicts and struggles. I said, did anything change? You can't pass from darkness to light without a change. You can't pass from death to life without a change. You can't be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son without a change. You can't be born from above without a change. You can't be spiritually regenerated without a change. A gospel that doesn't produce a change is not the gospel of Jesus Christ in your Bible. The gospel of man, and it's not a gospel at all. It's not good news. It's bad news. The bad news is you're still bound by Satan and bound to sin and bound by sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection or legalism. I'm saying there's a new bent in you if Christ lives in you. Can you say amen? His seed remains in you. You can do those things, but it's going against the new nature in you. And if God can get you to be the saint that you are, the child of God that you are, the son of God that you are, and celebrate your separateness, He can deliver you from this present evil world. In the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, you'll shine. That's where the saints come in. You shine! You shine! You're set in contrast, hallelujah! And you shine as lights in the world. Glory to God. And that's how He touches the world. It's not by our compromise. It's not by our lowering the bar and lowering the standard. It's by our difference. Not in some kind of personal piety that brings us out of a self-righteous spirit, but just a difference, saying, I follow a different master. I listen to the true and living God. Hallelujah. I walk with Him. Though they live among them, they must not live like them. That's the message. Because He knew, even these new Christians, the culture was going to pull at them. Immediately. How many, one of the psychological needs of your life, one of the deep inward psychological needs is the desire to be accepted. To be accepted. Peer pressure is powerful pressure. Amen. Because there are people that we give importance in our life because we desire their acceptance and their approval. That's why the Christian community has to become a community. We can't just meet, eat, and retreat. Can you say amen, have a little dinner, and go home? We've got to begin to interact with one another, get closer to one another, find in each other what Satan is trying to set us up for out here in the world. If find our acceptance in each other. Don't seek it out of a relationship that's going to pull us away from Christ. Amen? Amen? You say, well, where am I going to find a man? I've been to every singles fellowship. I haven't found me a man. Well, pray for one. Well, I already did that. That's a stock answer. I already did that. Well, now be patient until God answers your prayer. Well, I already did that. No, you haven't done that. Can you say amen? No, you haven't been patient. Well, it's been 3 years. Well, it may be 10. This fellow said he lived 10 years that way. Because he started finding some fulfillment in Christ. Can you say amen? Just go to church. You're going to be a... you got to find something in Jesus along the way. Church cannot have so many programs that we just keep you so occupied and focused you don't experience loneliness and emptiness and without Jesus. Listen, you can be in the Mardi Gras in New Orleans, amen, and be lit. And I don't know if you know what lit means. It doesn't mean on fire. Can you say amen? But you go back to the hotel room, and it doesn't matter what kind of sins you committed. There's a loneliness and an emptiness. And you have to go out, amen, the moment you're sober and try to fill it up again. Jesus says, I want to do something. And we're trying to sell this to the world. We need to get it right in the church. And then we won't have to sell it to the world. They'll see it in us. Can you say amen? Let's get it right in the church. Glory be to God. Let's get it working in us. I will be the happiest man tomorrow at Winn-Dixie Manufactory. I want to be the guy with the gumption from a unction from a gumption so I can function. Can you say amen? Like the lady set free from drugs. The only way she could describe what Jesus did in her life. Oh, what a change in my life. You go along in your Christian faith for a while and you get over it. God wants us to get back to it. He wants us to be renewed. Again, in the spirit of our mind. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said in Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. John 15:18-19. I've got to hurry here. The world hate you. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, here's that acceptance we're seeking. The world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The Amplified Greek says, not of the world, no longer one with it. Isn't that good? No longer one with it. You watch the same program on TV and you say, no, I can't agree with that. I can't go along with that. That's not what Scripture teaches. That's not what God says to His children. I can't go along. I won't go along with that. Can you say amen? And all your friends are going along with it and you say, no, it doesn't matter. I've been chosen out of the world. You're going to be glad one day that you were chosen out of the world. One paraphrase reads, if you find the godless world hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. Malcolm Muggeridge was one of Britain's great journalists. He was a Christian and he frequently wrote about feeling like a stranger in the world. In an interview shortly before his death, he said that he finally came to see that life was not about now. It was about eternity. He added this, and I quote, I really don't belong here. I'm simply staying here. He understood that there was a difference between the world in which we live and the world to which he aspired. Can you say, man? How many know there's got to be a difference? You can get up tomorrow and find out you've got a terminal illness, and this world will immediately change for you because you'll find out this is a temporal place and you live in a temporal body. Can you say amen? There's a time to be born and what's going to happen? There's a time to die. Amen. But this is the time to look past all that to eternity and live in the light of eternity. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Great Divorce. This is talking about this separation that God has called Christians to. And he called it the Great Divorce. You get saved, you get a divorce. Can you say amen? From whom? From the world. From the devil. You were of your father the devil, but you ain't no more. You're not anymore. You don't belong to him. You've been translated. Can you say amen? So you just go ahead and file for divorce. Hallelujah, and it's granted. C.S. Lewis called the book The Great Divorce, and here's just one quote from one of the chapters. He said, If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Amen. You say, I finally got the house. I finally got the SUV. We got the plasma TV and the entertainment system and the big bass woofer. And so I can go to Blockbuster, get a movie, I put it on in my new house, and drive to Blockbuster, my new car, and listen to my new entertainment system. I'm sitting here with my wife, and I'm not happy. Why? Because the world will never satisfy that deep longing. Only Christ can do that. And that's why church has to become more than a meeting place for unhappy people, still looking for the world what only Jesus can give. Amen? My beloved, we're made for another world. Is that a good statement? It is a world that is marked by newness and freshness, a world that leaves behind the old pagan existence of distorted reasoning, futility, emptiness, and the uselessness of life. Paul contrasted, I got to hurry and close, we will close. He contrasted the darkened mind of the lost with the spiritually enlightened mind of the saved. Because he said, of the people that are pulling us, he said, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. That's the world. That's its mindset. That's its thinkers. Isn't that incredible? That's why you need to be renewed. You know what Deuteronomy says? I'm going to jump ahead. Forget all the rest. Let's jump ahead. Deuteronomy 6 says, in these words, 6:6, says, in these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? What's happening? The mind is constantly renewed. I'm a child of God. I'm not like the culture around me, praise God. I'm a special set apart one unto Him. I walk with Him. He walks with me. I talk with Him. He talks with me. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. You talk about head over heels for God. These people were wearing scripture on their wrist, and they had little locket like things with scripture hanging here in the frontlets between their eyes, and say, "What's that between your eyes?" Amen. They said, "I'm glad you asked. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. Him making me lay down in green pastures." Oh, hallelujah! I can't hardly read it without shouting. Read the rest of it for me, will you? While I shout a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, and it's on your doorpost. When you get up in the morning, you talk about it. How do you keep it before your eyes? How do you keep it in your heart? Amen. Let it not depart from your eyes, and don't let it out of your mouth. And keep it always in your mouth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Pick up the book. Praise God. Hallelujah. Put your eyes on this living word. Let it begin to minister to your spirit. Say, this is unique to me. These promises are mine. Hallelujah. This God is my God, and I'm His child. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. I'm not looking for acceptance from my peers. I have acceptance from my God. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, and His people. The Christian family. Oh, what a family. Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle. The Christian family. Listen, there's every kind of person in the Christian family. There's even tares among the wheat in the Christian family. Amen? There are people who are not genuine and authentic in the Christian family. But every true one in the Christian family is supposed to be bound to one another in a bond of love, to where our acceptance comes through the Christian community, not the world about us. Amen? So we just quit caring what the world thinks. It doesn't matter anymore. What matters is that we're pleasing our God and we're serving Him. And we put off the old man, and our mind is beginning to grasp this newness. And now the newness is beginning to take hold of our life. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? The problem lies in the mind. Basically, it's a problem of distorted reasoning. If we're going to set the record straight, it's going to be important for us to do a radical restructuring of the mind. I believe what Paul had in mind in Romans 12 when he said, be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Spiritual regeneration happens in your spirit. Transformation is when your mind is renewed to what has happened in your spirit. Can you say amen? Literally, the word for being no more, the word that was used in Romans was, don't let the world press you into its mold. Anyone ever played with Play-Doh? Unless you get this thing crystallized in you, you're going to be soft in areas, and the world's going to push at that area that's not really committed to Christ and His Lordship. And it's going to begin to push you into the world's mold. And Paul said, don't let the world do that to you. Amen. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed, pressed into the world's mold, but be transformed. Can you say, amen? God's not asking you to change yourself. He's saying, let me change you by making a decision to put off the old. You make the decision, I'll do the work. Everybody say, that's a good deal. If I make the decision, He won't superimpose His will on you, but when you surrender to His will, He'll give you heaven's resources. By the way, heaven's resources are powerful resources. Powerful allies will stand with you in your war with the culture. Powerful allies will stand with you in your war against the devil. Powerful allies will be raised up to stand with you in your war against the flesh. And you will win with God's powerful allies. Hallelujah. So the mind becomes the agent of transformation. People who set the standard today, who dictate ethics for our society, are actors, popular singers, talk show hosts, journalists. Heaven help us. They've led us to ruin with their ideas of what is right and good. And now we add to that the apostate church with its message of conformity and compromise. In the name of tolerance and love, we take everything God said and we twist it. And there's a strong word against that as we close. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And that's exactly what's happening today. And woe to them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. The clergy, there's clergy today that is doing that. Whole denominations that are going that route. People come up to work and they'll see something in the paper. They ask me and I give them God's word. They said, what do you think about this? And I said, I have personal thoughts and I have personal opinions. I'm a Christian. I certainly am going to line up with what God says in His Word. But more importantly than what I personally think about this, let's see what God says about this. Because that's going to stand when all of the thinkers and all the people's attitudes and ideas, amen, at the judgment, is what God says is going to matter. And this is what God says. And I just tell them what God said. I quote them the scripture verbatim. And I try to get it in the New Testament if I can, because they'll say, but that was the old covenant. Honey, there's some strong warnings in the new covenant. Can you say amen? Furthermore, they miss or trivialize the weighty things of life entirely. Pagan minds are filled with useless and empty things. I'm reminded of the story of the little girl who had a tummy ache. She complained to her mother, my tummy is so sore. Her mother said to her, it's all right, sweetheart. It's because it's empty. Once you put something into it, you'll feel a lot better. It worked. That afternoon, their pastor came to visit the house. While the mother stepped out for a moment, he said to the little girl in passing, you know, I have an awful headache. My head is so sore. The little girl said, oh, it's all right. It's only because it's empty. It'll get better when you put something into it. Kids are brutally honest. You want to defeat your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your anger, your discouragement, depression, deception, temptations, etc.? Fill your mind with the Word of God. If the mind is the agent of transformation, then the Word of God is essential to the renewal of the mind. The Bible said, don't let it depart from your eyes. God said, when you get up in the morning, talk about it. When you lay down at night, talk about it. And in between the morning and night, talk about it. Can you say amen? Put it where you can always be reminded of it. Hallelujah. I mean, that means keep the Word of God in your heart. Keep it before your eyes so you can keep it in your heart so it can keep renewing your mind. Amen? I like this one translation of that. It says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you. And then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning till you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorpost of your homes and on your city gates. Amen. You know, you don't have to do all that if you will put a tape in. Instead of the rap channel. I mean, what you going to program your mind for the day? Huh? You want to win this battle? Come on, you can't. I'm not talking about trivial little things. I'm talking about what you're feeding on. Amen. Say it don't matter. It don't matter. God says it matters. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, pure, holy, good report, praiseworthy, lovely, think on these things. Why? Because this is the pivotal thing. This is what transforms the life. It's when we're renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can't put off the old nor put on the new till you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Sunday school is not just entertaining the kids so the parents don't be bugged and the preacher can preach over their laughter. No, that's not what Sunday school is for. It's to begin that process of beginning to get something in the mind because the world has at it. They're even changing the Looney Tunes characters because they're not sophisticated enough for the kids today. On CNN, Bugs Bunny's going to become kind of super rabbit, kind of computer-generated looking thing. I mean, you know, all the stuff that it's not high tech enough. Kids want something that's different now. We want a high tech computer generated super bunny. We don't want bugs anymore. I love bugs. Leave him alone. Me and you're going to start a movement. You know what? It's indicative of a culture that's in flux. Everything is changing. A more sophisticated 8-year-old that already knows about sex. A 10-year-old that's already been introduced to drugs. That's already seen things that we couldn't imagine because of the media. And all Hollywood does and everyone says, turn it off, turn it off. The parents have control. Listen, your kids are not under your control. Listen, kids... 3 years ago up in Georgia, a daycare center was showing Children of the Corn to preschool kids. And the parents were outraged because once those images get in, you can't just extract them. There's no eraser. Kids exposed to hardcore pornography, you can't erase it. It's going to stay right there. The only thing we can do is reprogram the mind with the things of God and the holy and the pure things to help counteract that. But kids can't handle that and adults can't either. Can you say amen? It gets imprinted. It makes an indelible impression. Do they see it? Yes, they do. Because inevitably, somebody's going to go over to somebody's big brothers and they're going to sneak in the room or sneak out of bed. They're going to get up and they're going to, oh, but I got all the controls on my TV. Well, it ain't just your TV. It's other people's where they visit. Amen. The world takes no responsibility for your kids. No responsibility for how they warp their minds. Can you say that? Satan is using the media like he's never used it before. And the church, hallelujah, had better stand up with a message, amen, that can counteract this thing. There is a God who is calling us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Let's heed the call and bring our kids with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Compromise Christians in the book of Nehemiah. Compromise covenant people. We're about to lose the entire faith because their children spoke the language of Ashdod and couldn't speak the Jewish language anymore. They were one generation away from losing their identity as a holy people. And that's why he slapped them. And that's why he yanked their hair. Because he says, can't you see what you're doing? It ain't the kids that we have now in the school system. When you try to hold a standard, it's the parents that give you a fit. Boy, back when I was in school, if I got a whipping in school, my dad found out about it, he'd give me another one when I got home. He didn't go jump on the principal. He congratulated him. Oh, it really warped you, didn't it? No, it did not. No, it did not. It began to teach me there's consequences for rebellion, consequences for bad behavior. There are consequences to sin, and they're not good, and that needs to be instilled at some point. You can't sin with impunity. Amen? Fill your mind with the Word of God. Everybody say, get filled with the Word of God. Just get filled with it. Just get filled with it. Praise God. There's a battle for our values. Let me close with this. Sunday in church, we speak the name of Jesus in praise and feel the presence of an almighty God. It's a scene that is repeated all over the world as Christians worship. Monday in the everyday world, we hear the same name we praised hurled as two people get angry and go into name-calling in an unapologetic blasphemy. A government entity wishes to place the Ten Commandments or possibly the manger scene publicly, and someone or some other organization files a lawsuit to have it taken down. You don't believe there's a battle with the culture? And you have to take sides here pretty soon. A person on the job who values good moral honest living watches as a co-worker leaves the office with office supplies in hand for personal use. Fact, the everyday world is hostile to Christians. The everyday world is also hostile to non-Christians as well. They're hostile to each other. It's a hostile world. The difference is that we have a mission to raise the standard of living and not to be dragged down to the world's standard of living. Truth, number one, the biblical view of daily life is different than the world's view. How many know the biblical view? You can't just live 6 days in the world and suddenly put on the Sunday morning church outfit. I've been a pastor too long, and I know a little bit about behind the scenes and stuff I can't tell and won't tell. But I'm going to tell you, every smiling face on Sunday morning doesn't represent a life that's truly happy. And that home that people are showing you that's so wonderful, amen, if you ever talk to the people long enough that they thought the house would do it for them, that's called the deceitfulness of riches. They think they can buy something to fill that void. Honey, if there's not a right relationship with God and each other, that is just a house. That's all it is. It is not a home. Amen. But the humblest of abiding places where love lives is the richest of homes that a person could possibly have. The world values achievement. The world values appearance. God values character. The world values achievement and money. God values the eternal values, eternal things. The world values power. God values service. The Bible stands alone as man's moral standard. No comparison between the Bible and the books by men. The Bible offers not only an exalted moral standard, but also a hope for the future and a life hereafter. What a book. Look at somebody say, what a book. The Bible teaches an inward change which results in outward betterment. The world lives without hope and is angry. We live with hope and within the principle of love. Praise God. Listen to this. No, don't. Stand to your feet. I want to exalt him today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened? To true conversion. What happened to leaving an altar and living in the newness of walking in the newness of life? Some of you almost bought into it. I would never do it, and I won't ever agree with you. So-and-so is a Christian. Why? Because they joined the church and got baptized. They can tell you back in when they were 12 years old, their mama drug them down front, and they took them and put them in the water. And now, from that day till the day they die, they can live any way they want to and die any way they want to. They're going to have a front row seat in heaven. That gospel is from the pit of hell. That is not just bad theology. That is absolute deception. If any man be in Christ, he's the same old man, with bound by the same old sin. It's not that you can't commit them, but you are not bound by them. You can reckon yourself to be dead. You can count yourself as dead. When those desires come, it's not that you're a backslider or that you're wicked. It's that you're... And you can live differently. Amen? But we're not going to sell you phony baloney Christianity to console people so you can go out and do the same thing you used to do and name His name. Let every man that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from what? Depart from what? Why? Because you named the name of Jesus Christ. So a change has to come. Are you going to struggle with it? Yeah. The struggle proves that you are moving in the right direction. I struggle with loving my enemies. I want to strangle them. I don't mean kill them, but just choke them a little while, you know? Amen. I'm not a murderous man, but there's some people I want to lay hands on. In the wrong way. I feel it rise up sometimes. Well, I ought to. Now say, no, I'm a child of God. And I've never regretted being a child of God. Regretted losing my temper. I've regretted blowing my top. I've regretted speaking my mind. I've never regretted being a child of God. Never regretted holding my peace when I could. Amen. Peace isn't going to come while you're in conflict. While you look at somebody on television, you see that image and you look at yourself and say, I don't fit the bill. Instead of seeing Jesus with His arms open to you and letting Him embrace you. Amen. It's never going to happen till He becomes Lord. There's got to be a radical change of the mind if there's going to be a radical change.